What's going on up there in Canada?
Nobody knows.
What's there to do in Canada?
Nobody knows.
What kind of folks live in Canada?
Nobody
what kind
knows.
Of animals and plants they got? Do they eat at similar
nobody
restaurants?
Knows.
Are all their cops the Mountie cops? Are there any good vacation
nobody
spots?
Knows.
For these and other questions, tune in to John and Stefan's Canadian Education Program for Foreign Podcasters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another bonus edition of Block Party. This is the Canadian Education Program for Foreign Podcasters, number 18.
Wow.
I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And today we will be reviewing a seminal piece of Canadian history. And Stefan, some would say maybe the most popular thing we've ever reviewed. A lot of these Canadian education episodes end up being, here's this fucked up cartoon we watched when we were children.
Here's the raccoons.
Here's the raccoons. Here's Polka Dot Door. Here's whatever. But today we're going mainstream. We're going right to the top. We're going to a 16 times platinum album. We're going to Michael Bublé's Christmas.
That's right.
And we thought, who better to have on the show than a man who is just blowing up on the comedy scene from a musical perspective, as his album that just came out, and I want to make sure I get the title right here, Funny Songs and Sketches.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if they just call it like it is.
Honestly.
Returning guest to the show. Very funny. Joe Quizzala is here. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. Hey, so happy to be here on an exclusive episode. This is... What a thing you made me do with this Bublé thing. But yeah, no, I have an album out, and I'm currently working fast to release my own Christmas EP that hopefully will be out very soon.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's very, fortuitous that we're talking about a Christmas EP, and I've got one in the works. But if by the time this comes out, that isn't released yet, I do have all these songs. I'll have all these, like you said, straightforward, funny songs and sketches on this album that just came out.
This will be out in like 2 weeks, Joe. So I think you've probably got a chance.
Yeah, you might be good.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, good. So that'll probably, again, I'm very, I feel like I can't really fuck around with my titles because I'm not like a known quantity.
Smart.
It's like if you're Adam Sandler, you can call your albums whatever you want. But so I'm releasing an EP called Funny Christmas Songs. And so that will be, SEO optimized and, so that I also, if someone happens to stumble upon it, I don't want them to be like, hey, why doesn't he sound better vocally?
Yeah.
It's cool.
You should name your album Funny Christmas Songs and Trending on ArtStation to get all of the AI guys who are like searching for shit.
No, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a good idea.
Yeah. If you want to like SEO optimize it, yeah,
say by Joe Quizzala, verified Twitter user. And then you'll get the whole, you'll be swimming in grifter money in no time.
Yeah. And also like moms ready to fuck in my area will be, my stage name.
This is maybe like a subheading on the album title, not like the full. Yeah. It's in brackets or something.
Small print.
I love the small print. It's important. So Joe, what you're saying is basically we helped you because I'm sure you probably heard a lot of ideas from the Michael Bublé Christmas music that you could sort of incorporate into kind of what you're doing.
I mean, in many ways, it was frustrating because I went, oh, no, I wanted to duet with Shania Twain. And so I have to go back to the drawing board and it's really crunch time. I'm running out of time. So, finding out that Bublé stole all my good ideas is fucking me over. But I guess I'm glad I know now instead of after I release it.
Yeah, that's true. I did want to ask you before we get into some Christmas stuff and some Bublé stuff. Did Summoning Salt ever unblock you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. A wrinkle that I've in the story that has transpired, I think, since I've talked to you guys is that, and it might be because of you guys, but a decent amount of like Twitch streamers have found Chimmy, my video.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
And I found some of them were like using a like sprite mod on games so that they can actually play as the sprite of Jimmy.
Oh, that's so good.
And I was like, this is so cool. And I've been able to reach out and like talk to some of those people and like watch the old streams and see like people get excited when like he debuted the Jimmy. It was really, really like satisfying because, you know, part of the issue was that I had a hard time getting this video in front of the people who would enjoy it. And now I think it's nudged a little bit in that direction. That's good.
Okay. So we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. I just looked it up. He has still blocked me. We need, if anyone's listening, I think we need to be a little bit more direct. I think people
targeted effort.
Let's
just straight up say it at this point. Just unblock Joe.
Be like, hey, unblock Joe. He's a fan and he put something together that is obviously from a fan's perspective. And I think you would enjoy it and laugh. And it is not like the many Summoning Salt parodies that are like a speed run of my asshole sitting on the bench or whatever. Which, you know, is just off the top of the dome, more creative than the ones that are actually out there. But.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as you getting it in front of Twitch streamers, I would say that is our sort of core audience, mm-hmm. is either yeah. people who stream or watch Twitch streams, and we do about 1 million downloads per episode. So not surprising that you yeah. have been, you know, you've really been doing well with the Chimmy thing.
I got in a bit of trouble on Twitch this morning, John. I don't know if you saw.
You did. I didn't see. No, what happened?
Well, Joe, I don't know. Do you know about the Mountain Dew raid, Joe?
The Mountain Dew raid? No.
Mountain Dew has a Twitch stream, and I guess they're trying to get more people to watch their Twitch stream. So they're doing something called Mountain Dew Raid, which is they're using AI technology to like see if anyone streaming is like drinking Mountain Dew or if they have a Mountain Dew logo somewhere visible on their stream. And so we tried to get them to get in and see our stream earlier in the week. It didn't work, and we were all pissed off. And then we're like, well, we'll try it again today. Because yesterday, our friend Luke got 300 gifted subscriptions from Mountain Dew on his stream. It was great. And we put a logo up this morning. They showed up. They gifted us 20 subs. It was great. And then they like rated us, which means they're like hosting it on the official Mountain Dew Twitch page. And someone bought an alert. And I mean, there's a lot of explanation I need to do for this to make any sort of sense. But basically, the alert is, I have a library of like 1,000 TikToks of this like insane old man named Dwayne, who's like constantly taking his top off and like just getting really horny on TikTok. And one of those popped up and he was like fully naked and his gut was like covering his penis and balls. So you couldn't see it. But as soon as he showed up, they just like completely fucked right off and just like, so I think there's a legitimate chance we might get in trouble, but.
That's great.
Yeah,
I mean, how could you get in trouble though? Like,
I don't think we will. But I'm legitimately wouldn't be surprised if Mountain Dew issues a chargeback to the corporate card for those gift subs.
That would be amazing if they really to do funny. That. Yeah. That would be very funny because that's what 20 subs is $100. I mean, you don't get $100.
No,
$50 for you guys.
We get like 70, but like it's $100.
Because you're a Twitch partner, so you get a higher percentage now.
Yeah, but it was they gave us $100 of subs basically. So. I don't know, but I think I should try and find what game are they adding the sprite to, Joe?
Spelunk? Is that a game? Spelunk?
Oh, Spelunky. Yeah. That makes sense. Like the one where you're spelunking, I guess. You're in like a cave and you're
like in a cave and hopping around and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That's a fun game too. All right. Okay. I should look into this.
It was just, you know, a fan that made the sprite. And then I was like, I can get the official sprite. Like, oh, and then the guy who did the actual, you know, design was like, that's really hard. He's like, I'll do it, but like, don't that easily volunteer all this labor.
My artist is actually willing to do a bunch of extra work. So
I'll make sure, I promise you.
And they're like, yeah. Stop. Did the Chimmy sprite look kind of, like, did it look good, or you were like, no, we got to get the official one in here?
It looked pretty good there, and I'm talking to the guy, and you should shout him out, Matt Barnaskis, who's like a really great like pixel art designer and animator. He was like, yeah, you know, there's some stuff like that, if I got my hands on it, we can make it official, but like they did a pretty good job.
That's awesome. Sweet. Nice. I've never no one's ever made a sprite of anything that I've done.
No,
He was really good, and I had to keep telling him to make the sprite look worse because Chimmy's supposed to be like a very bad game, and he was like making like the animation was really like fluid and I was like, no, this is supposed to be like mid-80s and it's supposed to be like an awful game, so you really gotta like get all this fucking the detail. It's like beautiful detail that he said. I'm like, no, we gotta make him look as bad as possible.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the Chimmy art in the sketch reminds me of E.T. for Atari. That was definitely kind of that feel.
100%. Yeah, and even like I had to give up like trying to make it look, because you don't want it to look as bad as E.T.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. They buried like 500,000 of those cartridges in the desert for a reason.
I just wanted a notch above of E.T. But like for sure that was a reference point.
Yeah, that's sick. Well, Joe, this is ostensibly an episode where we educate you about Canada, but before we get into that, we do need to know what are your Canadian propers. How do you have any experience? Have you been up here? Are you friends with Canadians? What do you know about Canada? Yeah. Tell us it all. Where are you at with our country?
For sure. I visited Canada for the first time this year.
Oh wow.
In the middle of May, which I think might have been like not long after I talked to you guys this year. And so, because it was my parents' 40th anniversary and my mom really likes Niagara on the Lake.
Oh,
They like to go up there. They live in Pittsburgh, so it's a drive, but it's not too bad. And so they like to go up there, and for their 40th, they wanted like the kids to come too. And so we went, and you know, it's a lot of wineries. It's a lot of stuff for moms, how I would describe it. And so it was, you know, but I didn't feel like I experienced too much except seeing like the Peller Winery or something. Like there was just, you know, a bunch of big wineries that we did tours of and just kind of like hung out. I tried to get a bunch of candy that was important to me while I was up there.
Okay. Coffee Crisp?
Yeah. I had found Coffee Crisp down here in California before, so I knew about that, and I knew about every once in a while I get a candy, and I'm like, I don't know who this belongs to. Like Violet Crumble, is that another, like, do you guys know that, or is that like Australian?
That might be a British one.
Yeah, because
we do have like all of the Commonwealth candies here, right?
So, yeah,
like,
we do get quite a few British candies, and we'll get some sort of like European.
Oh, it's Australian.
Yeah, because I was gonna say I haven't heard of Violet.
But it is very much like John, like a crunchy bar. It's like the sponge toffee.
Oh, sponge toffee.
Like the honeycomb toffee.
Delicious. Yeah. I love a crunchy.
And I tried to cross reference like some list that was probably made by AI that I Googled, like, what are the Canadian candies I should get?
Yeah.
And so I grabbed a Big Turk. I was not familiar with what I was getting into, because I didn't really know what a Turkish delight was. I didn't realize it was like, well, this is like a Swedish fish kind of like covered in chocolate. And I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I would say Big Turk is pretty divisive up here. I think it's, you know, you tell some people you like a Big Turk and they don't like that information.
I just think any chocolate bar or candy bar, if you will, where they haven't changed the design on the label for like 50 years, it's like right down the middle. People either love it or hate it. Because the other one, I mean, this isn't a bar, but what's the cherry one, John? What's that one called?
Oh, Cherry Blossom.
Cherry Blossom.
That's a legendary, and I famously like those as well. And that is a legendary. The box, Joe.
Oh my God, Joe! You need to look this up if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, okay, I'm looking it up.
It is the least visually appealing candy of all time.
There's no way. There's no other way to put it than it looks like a period-ing pussy
or a prolapsed ass.
Yeah, there's just like, unfortunately, that's the only way you can describe it.
It's Oh God, that is really horrifying. Yeah, that looks like that should be in an anatomy class where you see like a cross section of an organ.
It's really. But it's like
candy is really good. It's like, it's basically like a cordial cherry, like a chocolate covered cherry. Yeah.
It's not that bad,
but it's very big. So the cherry itself is kind of smaller, and then it's surrounded with sort of like a cherry cream.
Yes.
And then the kind of interesting part is the bottom layer has like almost like a crunchy element to it.
Okay.
So it's unlike a cordial cherry, which is just smooth all the way. It's got like a crunchy element in the bottom layer.
The way this cherry is sitting in that goo, it does resemble an egg. like a raw egg in terms of consistency, like just kind of looking at it. Oh Lord. Yeah. I mean, well, you were saying, you know, packaging that hasn't changed. And I don't even know if this was Canadian. I was just grabbing stuff that I hadn't seen before. So some of it might have been, you know, wherever, but there's something called Jimmy Sticks. And the
I don't think we have those either. Yeah.
The packaging looked like it was like from the back, like an ad from the back of a comic book in 1950. Like I will try to show.
Oh, I just okay. J-I-M-M-I-E.
It's like this.
Oh
little,
yeah.
It's like the like no one has drawn anything like this.
This I think this is a British one as well, maybe. Possibly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it feels like you maybe went to like a specialty candy store because sort of our over the counter, for lack of a better word, our over the counter chocolates that we have that Americans don't have are either made by rum and butter. Okay, yeah, that's definitely
this one said Canadian.
It says Canadian on it, but that's not
nostalgia. I'll tell you this much, it was not good.
I think I know the flavor of rum and butter by thinking about it. I don't know if I had that specific brand.
Do you think it's rum and butter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Those are the flavors, rum and butter, because that's pretty much what it was.
No.
What deductive skills here?
I know. I really hit on it. But it's usually the chocolates are made by either Cadbury or Nestle.
Yeah.
And there are some Nestle products available in America, like the Crunch Bar, for example, is available in America. Yeah,
I mean, we also have a lot of Nestle water, which is weird.
Oh, yeah, true. Pure Life. Yeah, exactly. But there are some Nestle bars that are not available in America. And then I believe all the Cadbury bars you can't get. So that's like crunchy, crispy crunch. Mm-hmm. What's the other main Cadbury one I'm thinking of?
Like the Dairy Milk bars or whatever?
Well, there's
like
Dairy Milk and two, but Crunchy Crispy Crunch and Cara Milk is
Caramel.
Also
really good.
Down here, Cadbury is almost exclusively known as the egg company. Yes. Like they make
right,
the
cream
Cadbury.
Egg. Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Big also Cadbury, I think.
Is Wonder Mr.
Bar.
Big Cadbury? Yeah.
I believe it is. Yeah.
Wonder Bar is so good.
Wonder Bar is really good.
I got something that was on the list of like Canadian candies you have to try that I really like. I almost couldn't even manage to bite into it. Was Macintosh?
Oh, Macintosh! Oh. Well, you have to smack it. Did you know that?
Hard.
No. I was given no instructions when I.
It was a whole ad campaign when we were kids called "Smack Your Mac," and basically,
God, Jesus,
Canada's kids, okay? Canada's. We're different up here, Joe.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But basically, so before you even open it, you leave the toffee in the box and you smack it against the ground, and that cracks the toffee into a bunch of different pieces. So then when you open the wrapper, like you're just eating the pieces like one at a time. It's like easier. Yeah, exactly. So it's easier to break them down than trying to like rip off like a strip of it.
It was impossible. I was like, this is irresponsible. Like no one should be selling this. I can't believe this was on a list. I don't even know how to start with this. So yeah, I was missing crucial information.
Yeah, you had to smack your Mac.
You also get so my favorite, this is a chip or more of a snack than a candy. But it's a Canadian classic, and I think John knows what it is. Well, there's a few options here, obviously, but Hawkins Cheesies.
That's not what I was thinking, but
they're
I don't
incredible.
Like Hawkins Cheesies.
Oh, I love them. They're in a red and white striped bag, and they're just like crunchy Cheetos, basically.
Interesting. No, I mean, our haul was mostly just sweets.
Okay.
And so it was like a little too daunting to try and get.
Right. Because obviously there's All Dressed and ketchup.
Yeah. Ruffles All Dressed is sort of the kind. But they have those in America now, do they not?
I feel like All Dressed has a foothold in the US now.
It's not as accessible down here, but you'll spot them here and there.
Yeah.
I also got a Mars Triple Treat. Does that do anything for.
Is that just Mars Bar, but like three of them? Or
No. It's way worse. It like it felt like on some level like a like nutritional bar or something. It had
these are supposed to be healthy apparently.
It had like
I've had those before.
Fruit cake kind of thing.
Okay,
that was on the list as well.
Yeah, that's not. I wouldn't have. You should have talked to us because we would
next
have
time.
Given
next
you
time, a, let us know. Yeah.
We would have given you a non AI generated list that would have had proper candies on.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I grabbed some maple stuff as well. That was just
of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
you got to do that.
Very tasty. Yeah. I also found something that I know is not that I know it is not Canadian, but like it really made me laugh, so I had to get it. I mean, it was very clearly Korean, but I'm gonna show it on the thing here. I don't know if you can tell.
Ritz White.
Ritz White. Is that just Ritz like Oreos?
So we had to get it because we had to know. Like, what, there's a lot of options of what it could be. Like, is it a white cheese? Is
it like a cream cheesy type thing?
Yeah. It ended up being like Oreo cream.
Oh, no. I don't know about that.
I think I'd probably like that.
It kind of worked. Salty, sweet.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And Ritz's are kind of buttery. Like
true.
You can kind of get there, I think, with the.
Yeah. Cause I mean, there's like peanut butter Ritz little sandwiches, right?
Oh, those, are
like, those are great.
So it's similar, not as satisfying.
Okay.
But there is. Now, this is going off of Canada, but I don't know if you guys see them, you should get them. This time of year, they have fudge covered Ritz, and those are really, really good.
Oh,
fudge covered Ritz are very good.
We actually bought them in Canada. I bought some Ritz crackers today. I was walking down the aisle and I was like, you know what? I haven't had Ritz crackers for a while, and they're like fucking good.
Buttery cracker. It's really, really good.
They're really nice.
There's nothing
also
wrong with a Ritz.
While I was there at the grocery store, they were playing Michael Bublé Christmas music. So
I just, before we get to Bublé, I do want to say, Joe, the fact that the only place you've been in Canada is Niagara on the Lake, I think is very, it's very beautiful. It's very special because that, I think for most people, could just never be the case. That's like you didn't even think, maybe we'll go up an hour up the road to Toronto. It just was like, I'm just in Niagara on the Lake. I love it. No,
we were on my mom's schedule and itinerary. I will say one of the funniest, like stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. Clifton Hill, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
Okay.
It's the like theme park Niagara.
Okay. I haven't been to Niagara on the Lake since I was like a kid. Like I grew up in Southern Ontario, but then my family moved to BC when I was 13, and I haven't been back to Niagara on the Lake since I lived in Ontario. So it's been over 30 years, or like, not quite 30 years.
Is it like a boardwalk kind of thing, or is
kind
it?
Of. It's okay. So strange and really, really funny. There's a Burger King with just a gigantic gorilla on top of it. Like none of it makes any sense. There's no rhyme or reason to it. The signs are just for everything. For like Travelodge is just like gigantic, like bigger than a billboard. For it on some level, it feels like when Mario goes to a place and everything's like way too big. You know what I mean? Right. Like it had that vibe to it. But then there was like a wax museum that had you know, like here's what the wax figures look like inside. And it took us so long, and we still weren't sure, trying to identify who was who, you know, where it was like, I think, all right, that's Jennifer Lawrence. Is that Ellen? No, I think it looks like Carson Kresley from Queer Eye, but why would if I can find it, I'll send it to you guys, but it ended up being Josh Hutcherson. Because it was like a Hunger Games thing,
right?
But
it was
so bizarre, and like we should have gone in because I saw pictures of what this wax museum was like inside, and it was so poorly constructed, it almost felt like outsider art. Like if you had presented it as like some kind of commentary on wax museums, like from a performance artist, I think it would have gotten a lot of attention, but it's just the craft was really, really bad.
Wax museums are such a weird, like, they feel like in an internet age, they shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I definitely went to the one, like the Madame Tussauds in London when I was a kid and I was there.
Yeah.
And it's like, as a kid, it's like cool, I guess, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then like, it's just all of a sudden, I think you just turn 18 or whatever, and any chance of you ever going to a wax museum again voluntarily, it's out the window. Like and there, you realize, I think, just how shitty and touristy they are too, because they pop up in like Las Vegas or like, you know, this boardwalk
Clifton
or whatever,
Hill,
right?
Yeah,
Clifton Hill.
Niagara Falls has a couple of them, I think. They have a Madame Tussauds in Niagara Falls for sure, and then I think there's multiple. I've been to the Madame Tussauds one.
Yeah. I think the Ripley's thing there is a wax museum.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
a big
you're
Ripley's
right.
thing there. They also have Dinosaur Adventure Golf, Canada's largest mini golf course.
That
so.
Mini golf is sick.
Yeah, I mean 70,000 square feet. That's pretty good. That's almost
been to there.
That's like three Michael Bublé Burnaby mansions, I think. We were looking up his house right before this.
Yeah, we found his house, which is cool.
And I think I may have found his residence in Los Angeles as well.
Yeah.
But you know, we don't have to. Yeah, they have pictures going back to. It's called Movie Land. Is the yes. Wax Museum, and you can kind of click around through some of their. These are the things they chose to take pictures of and put on the website.
Right.
And it's rough. It's a rough. I wonder if you could search Movie Land Simpsons Wax and you would get some of the pictures. Yes, you can. If you search Movie Land Simpsons Wax, they have wax museums, excuse me, wax figures of the Simpsons.
Oh my God.
Terrible idea.
Oh.
And they are. True. Now this is horrifying. Like I was saying before, if this was like some sort of weird commentary, but no, it's just like it's fucked up. Because like first off, the Simpsons should not be three dimensional. No. Anyway.
So we're saying. Oh. So what I'm Movie Land Simpsons?
Is yeah, that
what
Dan, I'm, can you bring Simpsons this up?
Wax.
This is terrifying.
Oh no. Yeah, this is.
It's
not,
real. Like they all look kind of scary. Lisa looks really scary.
Because Lisa's you're so definitely
like, you're,
the most.
You're seeing her from the side, right? So you see like the spikes on the back of her head as well, and it just looks
way too many.
Lisa looks the most fucked up. No question.
Bart on the steps. If you can get a shot of his face, he looks high. Like his eyelids are down a little bit too low.
Also, I think he's saying so. They have like, I mean,
he's saying ah, it says carumba.
He's saying ah carumba, not I carumba. And then Marge is saying, let's go to the Movie Land Museum of the Stars, Niagara Falls, Canada.
Classic Marge Simpson quote that we all remember.
That's more of a Homer quote to me, to be honest.
Yeah,
they
true.
Also, they don't have them wearing, in some of these pictures, Marge and Homer are wearing correct outfits, but others, they are very much not.
Yeah, like this one, Homer's wearing a red T-shirt. Which
there's one where he's wearing a shirt with a Canadian flag on it. Like, oh, this is. I will say also on the Clifton Hall Wikipedia page, there's a whole subsection called Haunted Houses, and this section starts like this: There are 5 year-round haunted houses in the Clifton Hill area. And then it also does have this sentence: Creatures of the Night was replaced by a 4D theater known as Dino Rampage 4D. And is now an Outback Steakhouse. God.
Clifton Hill is just...
You either die a hero or live long enough to see it become an Outback Steakhouse.
But having had, like, you know, spending time with, like, my family as an adult, you know, it can be a little taxing. But then stumbling upon Clifton Hill, like, truly made me... Like, gave me life again.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, like, because getting to live that with your family is a good moment, too, right? Like, you can all relate to how weird it is. And how, like, if you were a kid, how you would have taken it. Like, you might have liked it way more if you were a kid, you know, if you're 10 or something like that.
Or not fully understood. And I'm sorry, I made a big mistake. On top of the Burger King is not a gorilla. It's a Frankenstein.
Yes, because I think the Frankenstein haunted house is right next door to it.
But it really does. Yeah. I mean, he's holding a burger, though, which makes you think this is Frankenstein's Burger King.
And there's a roller coaster right above it, too, right?
There's definitely a roller coaster around somewhere.
God.
It's a great, stupid, one of the great, stupid places in the world. And I'm so happy I got to witness it.
Well, all of Canada is basically exactly like that. So
yeah, one of the great stupid places of the world, the country of Canada.
Yeah, I would love to go, you know, and see more of Canada, you know, without my family.
Go to the real places.
Yeah, you know, because I do
have Toronto's, your Vancouver's, your Montreal's,
you know, from, you know, the Canada and Toronto and a lot of different places. And I would, it just seems great. And I feel like you guys and then some of my other friends would be able to map out like a good week there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're ever coming up, let us know.
I will. Yeah. And I would love to. And I've, you know, I've got that passport burning a hole in my pocket. And I've only used it to go to Clifton Hill.
Well, yeah, we will definitely, we'll get you up here. We'll take you to see Michael Bublé's home, which we now know the address. The
coordinates.
Yeah, the exact latitude and longitude. Okay, let's get to the album. We're talking about, well, this is kind of a weird thing, but so Michael Bublé released an album in 2011, October 21st, 2011, to be exact, called Christmas. And it is one of the best-selling Christmas albums of all time. On December 10th, it hit number one on the Billboard 200 album sales chart. And as of January 2022, it is Michael Bublé's most successful album with more than 16 million copies sold worldwide, making it one of the best-selling albums of the 21st century and one of the best-selling Christmas albums ever.
Wow.
It also won... So Canada's version of the Grammys is called the Junos.
And
Michael Bublé won the Juno for Album of the Year, making it the first holiday album to win Album of the
That's
Year.
So at the Canadian, Junos, which is so That's so Canadian, man. That's so Canadian. Oh my God.
He also released a holiday special the following year in 2012 called Home for the Holidays, which featured a lot of him performing the songs from Christmas. If you look, the Christmas album itself is 16 tracks, and the deluxe edition, it brings it up to 19 tracks. We were not going to make Joe listen to 19 tracks. So thankfully, Michael Bublé decided last year, or in 2022, last year, to divide the album up into EPs, because I guess it just wasn't good enough to have the one Christmas album stand on its own. So he divided it up into Michael Bublé's Cozy Christmas, Michael Bublé's Family Christmas, Michael Bublé's Christmas Party, and Michael Bublé's Romantic Christmas. And so for this episode, we asked Joe and Stefan and I also listened to Michael Bublé's Family Christmas EP. It's six songs. It features Holly Jolly Christmas, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, The Christmas Sweater, White Christmas, All I Want for Christmas is You, which is a Mariah Carey cover, and Winter Wonderland featuring Rod Stewart.
Yeah, he also released an EP where he walks over Jabba the Hutt's tail. Okay, sorry.
It's definitely not a reference I get.
No, it's it doesn't matter. Let's just move on.
So anyway, Joe, let's talk to you first, because you know, Stefan and I are from Vancouver. Michael Bublé is sort of our native son. You know, how I assume at some point in the wild you've encountered these Michael Bublé Christmas tracks. Have you ever gone out of your way to listen to Michael Bublé? What is your general feeling on Michael Bublé?
So I mean, like, he is, you know, and not just Canada, you know, when it comes to the young crooner, he's kind of got that market covered and cornered. You know, I mean, he was on SNL once and was in a good sketch because John Hamm was the host, and it was like a fake commercial for something called Hamm and Bubbly, which was Hamm in your champagne. And it's Hamm and Michael Bublé. So he's in the sketch. And he just plays like a scared. He's like really scared because Hamm is obviously like abusing him behind the scenes. That was my introduction to Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
like kind of holding his own in a comedy sketch. But then it's just like the rest of my knowledge of him is just like, maybe I happen to catch a commercial for like some sort of holiday programming that's happening on ABC, and it's like Michael Bublé is going to be there, or he's hosting it, or he's at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. He's just kind of like an industry player, like probably very easy to get along with, agreeable, will show up to any event, right? And so, like, yeah, I know about him. I gotta say, like, I've probably heard his Christmas songs, but without registering that it's him.
Yeah. It's just like it's Christmas. Very inoffensive. Like,
yes. Yeah, if you're in a mall at Christmas time, you're hearing them in some store you walk into.
And like, how distinct are they really from the other versions of these songs? Like, not in a way that you would clock, especially if you're just like running an errand and it's happening in the background, right? So that's kind of my experience with. I did not know he was Canadian, I'll tell you that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I thought he was born out of Frank Sinatra's asshole. but yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty much all I know about Mr. Bublé. God bless him. I will tell you when I was trying to. So this Christmas EP, the family Christmas EP, was kind of hard to find. I mean, I know it was on Spotify, but also I do not subscribe to Spotify Premium.
Right.
So on my phone, I was only able to like hit shuffle on what was the family Christmas EP, but it kept going off the album.
Oh, okay. It
giving me like a Bublé mix.
Right.
And so I was like listening to some of these songs, and then there was one, it was like a minute in, and I was like, this song is about his child. This song is about like my daughter is getting older, and I used to hold her in my arms, and I was like, is he talking about Jesus? I don't think you would say to Jesus, like, you're too old to hold my hand now. It just kept going, and I was like, I wanted to make sure I heard the right stuff, but then it kept, I think I heard like two different versions of Frosty or something, or one of these where, which I was like,
it doesn't matter. Really.
It really doesn't.
It was more just about shortening the listening experience.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Because I host a new metal podcast, and you know, sometimes Brian and I have a guest on the show, and we're like, hey, you got to listen to this album. It's 75 minutes long. You know,
I had to listen to Korn
Unplugged.
Yeah. Oh my god,
oh, wow. That
was... Well, I think we're having you back. You said you're going to come back for Nightmare Revisited.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
That album is also over 70 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Well. Korn Unplugged, also On the Cob, as they like to call it.
That's what they should have called it. It would have been great, like MTV Unplugged just called it Korn Unplugged.
They leaned into it. Yeah.
That'd be great. The Korn Unplugged is low-key, like, not that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad.
It was not as bad as I was expecting.
They do duet Freak on a Leash with Amy Lee from Evanescence, which is pretty decent. Right. And they bring out, there's like, wasn't it, Stefan, they brought out someone who played like a Chinese instrument or something for one of the songs?
I think so. I forget which
song
it
really
was.
They really leaned in, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not what you would call high art, but it wasn't bad. Yeah, I would say, like, for us in Canada, Bublé is this weird guy where, you know, if you're kind of sort of mine and Stefan's age, you are obviously aware of him, you know, because he does also do a lot of ubiquitous marketing campaigns for bubbly sparkling water.
Wow.
You know, where, and the whole sort of conceit there is he's like, it's Bublé. And then people are like, it's bubbly. And he's like, no, it's Bublé.
He has fun with it because I think he like the conceit is that he thinks the drink was designed for him or something, which is like a fun concept.
And over time, people have called him Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Like Americans, for mostly, sure. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pronounce his last name Michael Bublé. Yeah. So,
but he does seem to have like a good sense of humor about himself.
Seems like a
from
good
all
guy.
Accounts, is a very nice guy. He's a big Canucks fan. And so, I would say like almost like once a year, it seems like he'll like go into the booth and do some like play by play for the Canucks, which is always fun.
He seems like a good
Burnaby boy, you know,
but that's kind of all we know about him as well. Like
it's just a blank slate, I think. Right.
Yeah. No, like, one our age is like, I gotta hear some Bublé, you know, like you'll hear some of his songs by osmosis. Like Stefan and I were talking about before you got on the call, Joe, you know, his probably his most famous non-Christmas song is the one where it's like, I still haven't met you yet.
Yeah.
But like, I could totally also see if you go through your life never hearing that song.
Is that the one that's da 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 ba da da ba da da ba da ba da?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one I know. And that's the one that he sings that melody when being scared of John Hammond. That's good.
Okay.
Okay. Nice.
Right. Yeah, no, that's his big hit, other than the Christmas stuff. So
I will say with this Christmas EP, the one thing that really struck me is he's got some of the weirdest pronunciations of words this side of Tom DeLonge. That was really what was like throwing me off. Like he just was really saying words in a way that like nobody says these words, you know, and that was really getting to me. That was what was annoying me the most. It wasn't, I don't, you know, the songs are competent, they're fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, he just really does say some words very stupidly. And it's over the 20 or 18 minutes this EP lasts, it really starts to grate on you by the end of it.
Yeah. Rod Stewart showing up was a nice surprise, I guess. I did have to kind of, I was like, who is this? Because
it was
kind of hard to tell at first.
Took me a second, and I was like, "Is this my man Rod?"
Yeah. And it was. He was doing great. I did recently see, have you guys seen the clip of Rod Stewart doing the Scottish Premier League like tournament draw? And he is like the drunkest anyone has ever been in his entire life.
It rocks.
It's so good. That's all I can think of when I think of Rod Stewart now. And I guess getting your stomach pumped for having a bunch of cum in there.
What, really?
Isn't that something too?
Yeah, have you ever heard that, John?
Yeah. I mean, no. What a terrible and almost certainly false rumor to persist for decades about you.
Yeah.
That he had too much cum in his stomach, so they had to pump it?
Yeah, I think it's 100%. True.
What? Okay, I'm looking this up.
Well, it's weird. it's one of those pre-internet rumors that, like, I don't know, someone must have said it on TV or someone said it on a magazine, and it's like so creative of a lie that like everyone repeated it to everyone they knew and it just kind of became lore.
It's like the Marilyn Manson rib, right? Or like the gerbil, you know?
Yes, the Richard Gere gerbil.
Yeah.
Really, really exciting stuff.
Yeah, because he's not gay, right? Like that's kind of the whole thing also.
That's part of it is that I don't even think he's bisexual.
No, he's not. Yeah, as I'm reading this right now, apparently he went on Katie Couric's talk show in 2012, which I didn't even know she had a talk show. And he said, "I'm as heterosexual as they come," explaining that the story was made up by a former publicist.
Wow.
He addresses the story at length in his new autobiography. Stewart wrote that he once had his publicist share a room with his wife's 7-year-old son because a hotel was overbooked. Side note, don't do that to your publicist or a child. The now deceased publicist met a man at a bar and brought him back to the room, so Stewart fired him the next day. But the publicist's revenge, Stewart said, was, quote, absolutely inspired.
Okay, so he sort of like respects it, I guess. So that's good. Yeah,
exactly. That's funny. So he basically, he thinks it was a publicist out to get revenge.
But anyway, Rod Stewart is he's singing Winter Wonderland with Michael Bublé. For me, the highlight of this EP is, I guess, the original song, The Christmas Sweater.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Because when I was listening to that, I was like, this has got to be new.
Yeah. There's a bit of a, like the lyrics, maybe not as good as, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town or All I Want for Christmas is You. Not quite at that level.
Well, it's interesting because like the lyrics are kind of cheeky, you know, in the sense that it's like about an ugly Christmas sweater, but like the music and the tone does not veer from the regular Bublé, just kind of like crooning normally.
Yeah, it's a weird song.
It's weird too, like, because it seems as though the conceit of the song is basically like, if you don't wear a Christmas if you don't wear Christmas clothes, you're a bitch. Yeah. Like that's basically the conceit. It's like, honey, like dress up for Christmas. Why are you being such a jerk? I hate this. It's like, okay, well that's not really like a Christmas sentiment that like, you know, I feel like the best Christmas songs have this sentiment to them where people are like, I do feel that way at Christmas. And I never see someone not wearing a Christmas sweater. And I'm like, look at this asshole.
It's a weird
participating.
It's a weird song. The other weird choice, I think, is covering All I Want for Christmas is You at all. Like that just seems like one of those songs that is just not worth covering.
And kind of taking the life out of it. It's such a upbeat, fun song. And he kind of tries to make it a standard and you just kind of lose the magic of it.
Yeah. It doesn't work. I mean, Holly Jolly Christmas, I think was pretty good. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You know, he can sing obviously. Right. But the one that isn't on here, and Joe, I don't know if you've heard this one, but have you heard his cover of Santa Baby?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it's not called Santa Baby. And maybe Dan can play it. If you've got it, Dan. Hold on. I can find it for you. Because Joe, you're gonna want to hear I guess what Michael Bublé sings instead of
his take.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see. I while you're loading that, I will just agree with you guys. All I Want for Christmas is You pissed me the fuck off. You know, what makes that song is obviously, Mariah Carey, amazing singer, but just the jauntiness of it is very cool. Whereas he just kind of, like you said, Joe, tries to make it into a standard, and it doesn't fit like that. There's no one was like, oh, we got to slow this thing down. Oh, this song is too fast. This is too fast. Someone get me this song at halftime. That's what I need right now. So yeah, that really did annoy me as well.
Yeah. So here's the song. He does say Santa Baby right at the start.
Okay.
But then he goes on to just repeatedly sing Santa Buddy instead, or Santa Pally, to make it clear that he does not want to fuck Santa. Yeah, he's not gay for Santa.
Smart.
Santa Buddy, 65 convertible, steel blue. I'll wait up for you, dude.
It's really good.
Santa, I'll wait up for you, dude. Did he say? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
I think you're a swell guy.
Think of all.
Yeah. Right, I don't want to get this kicked off YouTube or whatever.
No. Yeah. So that's. I mean,
this is going behind the paywall, Dan. We're safe, baby.
That is sort of the infamous Bublé Christmas song.
Santa Buddy.
That's really good.
Let's touch our tips.
I really like it a lot.
That would be really funny if he converts it to Santa Buddy, but
then it's like extra gay. Santa? Yeah.
I will say it was kind of hard to actively listen to Bublé because it is almost by definition background music. Yes. Like I was like, I'll put it on. Okay, let's I'll figure some things to say or make some observations. And then like 5 minutes went by, and I was like, oh god, I put this music on.
Yeah.
But it just kind of like washes over you.
It is designed to be in a commercial or playing in a store, and just it is just sort of there. Like there's nothing like really offensively bad about it. It's like it's like good, you know. Like he can sing. It's competent, but like it's just there. And that's, yeah, John, I don't know if you agree with that.
But. Well, yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think like going back to something Joe said earlier too, is that one thing that kind of surprised me. And again, I've never sat down and just listened to a bunch of these in a row. I've only ever heard it as background music is there really is like no instrumentational risk at all. Like you would think even on like a 6-song EP, I guess All I Want for Christmas Is You All I Want for Christmas Is You is way different than the Mariah Carey version, I guess, but like in a bad way. Like he's not taking Holly Jolly Christmas and trying to do something any different than Burl Ives or whoever did it first, Bing Crosby, you know, what? Like it's just, we're doing the music that's on the sheet music from the original version of it. And there's nothing else past that. And I would have thought that maybe, you know, they would have tried to make some of them a little more jazzy or just like have a little more pop to them, but they really don't. It's really, truly just, this is the song the way it was meant to be played and sung. And I'm going to do an okay job. Like on one hand, I understand how it sold 16 million copies because places always need Christmas music and people always want there to be Christmas music in the background at their parties or whatever. But on the other hand, it's still a little bit crazy to me that 16 million people were like, I need these versions of the songs, you know?
Yeah. It's just there. It's very inoffensive. There's a lot of other better Christmas options. And I keep going back to this winning the album of the year in Canada. I didn't know.
I should see what else was nominated.
That's just so funny for a Christmas album to win that. It's incredible. Yeah.
And
it's
it'd be really annoying if you work your whole life.
I know, to write all these original songs.
And then Michael Bublé beats you. with a fucking Christmas album. That would be amazing. Okay, let's see what was nominated. 2012, Michael Bublé wins for Christmas. The other nominees, you won't even believe this. Another nominee for album of the year that year was also a Christmas album.
Oh my I'm looking God. At it too.
Who was it?
Really funny.
It was Under the Mistletoe by Justin Bieber.
Oh my God.
Then you have Goodbye Lullaby, Avril Lavigne, Take Care, Drake, and Here and Now, Nickelback. And it is crazy that Take Care lost to this Christmas
album. That's so funny, man. It's
Drake's best album and like critically acclaimed album loses to Michael Bublé's
Christmas
album.
That's really funny. God damn.
Oh boy. That's really tough. But I do know the process by which the Juno for comedy album of the year is selected, and I know some of the people who are on the panel for that. And based on that, I'll say I'm not surprised.
Well, you know, speaking of the comedy album for the Juno Awards, I have to say, like, compared to the Grammys, like, it seems like the Juno Awards will nominate and reward up and coming comedians and comedians who aren't like super famous.
Yeah.
It is impossible to be nominated for comedy album for the Grammys unless you are as famous as Dave Chappelle.
Like, yeah, the nominees are always like Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle.
It's Wanda Sykes, Louis Black. Louis Black always gets a nomination. You're like, he's putting out albums? Like, who, what?
Yes. Yeah, Canada. So, well, part of that, Joe, was that they did the comedy album of the year when the Junos first started, and then they stopped awarding it for like over 20 years. And then a lot more Canadian artists were doing albums because of the Sirius XM royalties.
Sure.
And so it got to a point where it was a joint effort between like some comedians in Canada, the program director at Sirius XM for the Canadian channel up here, a guy by the name of Ben Miner, that really like lobbied the Junos and were like, hey, like a lot of Canadians are putting comedy albums out. And yeah, like Russell Peters has never been nominated. I don't know if he's put out an album in that time period, but it definitely seems like they are they're focused more on up and coming comedians. Cause part of it too is the visa process for getting to America is really, really difficult. And getting a Juno nomination can be very, very helpful in that process because you're sort of proving to U.S. immigration, like, hey, I'm one of the best comedians in Canada. You know, I would like to be in your country. So it ends up being a bigger thing than it is for someone like Russell Peters or, you know, Jerry D or some of our, I mean, Jerry D is not even big in America. Russell Peters is really the only Canadian comedian that's like gigantic in America, but but yeah, no, it is cool. And congratulations to Michael Bublé for his album of the year
win. Yeah.
In 2012, a big dub, as they would say. Okay. We are here now, Joe, at the end of the episode, which does mean it is time for the Canadian quiz. Every single person who has sat in your seat, and taken this challenge has done poorly.
And a couple of people have done okay.
No, people have done okay. The record score for a guest is 7. So that is what you're trying to tie. There is a possible 12 available points. So there's going to be 2 easy questions, 2 medium questions, and 2 hard questions. The easy questions are worth 1, medium questions worth 2, hard questions worth 3.
Wow.
I'll just say this as a general guideline, what I do. The easy questions I feel like are gettable for most Americans. The medium questions will be very gettable for Canadians, but harder for Americans. Uh-huh. And then question 3 is the hard questions are designed to be hard even for Canadians.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so here we go. This is question number 1. This is an easy question worth 1 point. And by the way, you're competing against Stefan as well.
Yeah.
So Stefan will be also taking the quiz at the same
time. I've never lost, but
you have lost. You've lost.
Oh, wait,
once.
Did I lose? Okay. I thought I tied once as well.
No, you lost to Girl God. But in fairness, there was 2 of them. So
yes, that's true. Yeah.
That's a little, you know.
Yeah.
But okay, here we go. Michael Bublé, as we have said, is from Burnaby, British Columbia, which is home to one of Canada's top polytechnical schools, BCIT. Perhaps taking a nod from MIT. What does BCIT stand for?
Okay. Do I have to ring in or do I just...
No, you just say it. Stefan will write it down on his phone and you just say it when you're ready.
Okay. So that would be a British Columbia Institute of Technology.
You got it. Yes. Very good. And Stefan also has that written down there. Oh, there. Yeah. I know.
There you go.
Okay. So you're both at 1-1. Okay. Here we go. During COVID, Michael Bublé appeared on a cover of Lean On Me featuring a number of Canadian singers, including which pop star who sang Summer of 69?
Okay, that's Bryan Adams.
Bryan Adams.
Okay, very nice. 2 for 2, both of you. Very well done. Okay, so now we're on to the medium questions. These are worth 2 points each. First question. Fill in the missing political party from this list.
Oh, boy.
Liberal, conservative, NDP, Green, blank.
Oh.
Locked in. This is a tough one.
Yeah, it is, because it's like okay, because it's like the one that's missing from if that were to be American, it would be libertarian, and so I get the sense it'll be different in Canada, but I'm just gonna guess that so I don't miss like what could have been easy.
That's a good no, I mean that's
that
a good
that
guess.
Is a good guess.
Educated guess. The Bloc Québécois.
Yeah,
Bloc Québécois.
So this list is list of political parties that are represented in the House of Commons or that have at least one seat. And weirdly, Quebec has a political party that only tries to seat politicians in Quebec, and they do not try to win seats in any other province, and they have 32 seats in the House of Commons somehow.
All right.
There you go. Question number four. So Stefan has four, Joe, you have two. What large Canadian body of water touches four different Canadian provinces and territories and is also the name of one of Canada's largest department stores?
Jesus.
Locked in.
It's a lake, you said?
It's a body of water. I did not specify body of water, yeah.
All right. I mean, like, I will say, like, I only know, I'm just thinking about the Great Lakes, and I was like, Canada, say Lake Ontario.
Hudson's Bay.
Yes, Hudson Bay is the correct answer, yeah. The Hudson's Bay Company is the department store named after Hudson Bay, which touches Quebec, Manitoba, Ontario, and Nunavut. Okay, well, Joe, Stefan's at six. You're at two, but there's still 6 points on the board. You still have a chance at the record.
This is true. I really think I'm going to make a major.
I think you're going to come on in the hard questions here. I think this is where you're really going to turn it around. Okay, Michael Bublé is co-owner of what Vancouver area hockey team?
I feel like maybe we said it earlier, so I'm going to say the Canucks.
I think it's the Vancouver Giants.
It is the Vancouver Giants. Yes, they're the WHL team that plays in Vancouver. Is it
sort of a trick question?
Not a member of the ownership group of the Canucks.
I figured since it was hard, it would be, but I don't know.
teams.
I'm somewhat familiar with the NHL teams that are in Canada, so it's like there's no way I was gonna.
That was the best guess you could have made.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is wrong. Okay, so Stefan has a chance to go perfect. He has not gone perfect 12 for 12 in quite some time, actually, but we'll see if he can pull it off here. Final question. I recently moved to Calgary, which is Alberta's number one ranked city by population. Number two is Edmonton. In a distant third is Red Deer. What's number four?
Oh, Jesus.
Fourth highest Canadian city in terms of population.
In Alberta.
In Alberta.
Oh, man.
Oh, baby.
Red Deer is third.
Yeah. So Red Deer is third, but it's like a million behind Edmonton. Yeah. I'll give you a hint. The population of this city is 92,000. So there you go. That's your big hint. So there you go.
Boy. I'm trying to think of like WHL teams and stuff. Man.
I mean, obviously we have to give me a chance to guess.
Yes. Oh yeah. You're guessing first, Joe. Definitely.
It's funny. I was just listening to, the Doughboys. Lisa Gilroy was on and she's from Alberta. And I was like, did she say where she was from specifically?
Oh, I mean, this would be if you get this, it would be an unbelievable pull.
It would be a real Slumdog Millionaire moment.
It would genuinely happen to
be listening to a thing with someone from Alberta, but either she didn't say, or I don't remember. Cause I'm not pulling anything. So out of tribute, I'm going to say Gilroy.
It's not Gilroy. Stefan, what's your guess?
I don't think this is it because this is like, I'm just saying Banff. There's no chance.
Definitely not Banff.
No. Is it like Drumheller or some shit?
No. The fourth most populous city in Alberta is Lethbridge.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah. Hearing it, that does make sense. Yeah. Because I was trying to think of WHL teams and I just couldn't think of any other ones other than Red Deer. So
yeah, Lethbridge Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Wow.
Good try though. But the thing with the WHL, yes, they've got teams in Edmonton and Calgary. So that those are kind of the main ones. There's got to be another Alberta team in the WHL, no? Medicine Hat Tigers.
Is Medicine Hat in Alberta?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, wow, it was hard because like Lethbridge, I thought was gettable, and then number five was Airdrie, which is just like a suburb of Calgary, happening. And no one would have got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man. Wow. Okay.
Joe, I got 5 out of 6. Good job. Those are tough questions. You got 2, which does tie you with many of the Americans who have played this game. That is fairly standard to get both easy and then flop on the rest.
It feels like a win for me that I didn't absolutely blow the easy ones. So I'm feeling pretty good about it.
You did very well, Joe. Thank you so much for being on the show. Great to have you back. Before we go, anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, so I have this Christmas EP that's out along with a music video for it. I believe I'm doing all this promo before we have our ducks in a row, but Greg's Christmas Party is the name of the song that has a video. Funny Christmas Songs is the name of the Christmas EP. Should hopefully be everywhere you get music. If it's not, you can listen to secular evergreen songs on Funny Songs and Sketches, which is my album, which has music videos and all sorts of stuff and is available everywhere. In addition to, you know, if you want to watch the Summoning Salt sketch, among other sketches, I have all that shit is on my YouTube and Instagram, whatever. Joe Qua is the Instagram and TikTok. Joe K is the Twitter. And you just put in Joe Quazala and you'll get to my website or whatever. And there's a ton of shit that you can spend your time watching. And I think your audience would be into it. So.
Definitely. Last time you were on the show, we had lots of people dig in and enjoy. So yeah, that's so definitely do that with Joe's upcoming Christmas EP that is out now. It's not out now in the physical time we are recording this, but when you're listening to it, it's out now. So yes, thank you so much for listening and for donating to our show. If you want to see the video of this episode, you can up your donation to $8 a month or join the $100 club. We're getting close to the turn of the new year, which means new $100 club perks will be coming in January. So keep an eye out for that. And thanks again for listening and donating. We'll see you back here very soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.